Get to work out Wednesday now, brought to you by Custom Fit. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to CustomFit.ca, and they'll set up a program that works for you. Jeff Woods joins us once again. Woods, how you doing?
Great, Gregor. Thank you.
So we're nearing the end of 2016, and the American College of Sports Medicine has come out with their top fitness trends looks for 2017. First of all, tell me who the American College of Sports Medicine is. Is this a reputable list? What's happening?
Yeah, no, it's a very reputable list, Gregor. And the American College of Sports Medicine has global reach. And they have a couple of mandates. They provide good education for professionals in clinical and health club environments. Then beyond that, they provide research information in the area of exercise science. So for a lot of fitness professionals around the world, even in Canada, we look to the American College of Sports Medicine for guidance and their research. So since 2006, so this is the 11th year that they've done this survey, and they mail out the survey online to about 25,000 industry professionals around the world. So it's interesting, you know, from year to year, there's a little variance in the kind of response that they get, but typically it's somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 responses to the survey. And what the survey tries to do, Gregor, is distinguish like a fitness trend versus a fitness fad. So a trend would be like a pattern of development in terms of how people behave, you know, with fitness. And I'll give you an example. Like when wearable technology was introduced as an option to pick in this survey a few years back, it steadily climbed up the ladder and it's gone to the number one spot. Now, a fitness fad would be like an activity or a fashion that's taken up with a little bit of enthusiasm for a brief period of time, but it just kind of filters away. And a good example of this, like a few years ago, like Zumba dancing was very popular, Gregor, and I'm sure you were taking some Zumba classes at one time yourself.
That,
but now, like, it's nowhere on the radar at all. So that was a fad. It died off really quick. So, and the important part about this information, so as like a health club owner or gym owner for myself, or for other people that work in the industry that sort of set up programs for the general population. So whether you're profit-driven or non-profit-driven, like you can use this information to set up programs just to make them like supported by the population and hopefully profitable if you're in a, you know, small business like mine. So there's good value in the information for sure.
Okay, so wearable technology is number one. What falls into that?
Well, okay, so wearable technology, like it's all of your activity trackers, and there's many brand names, you know, whether it's the Garmin or the Fitbit or whatever it is, but they provide feedback in the form of, you know, your sleep patterns, your heart rate, how fast you run, whether you like walk, how fast you cover certain distances, you know. So with all of that information, like, if you want to improve your performance in any given discipline and you use all that feedback, this is a really great thing. So like the trackers can keep you really accountable as well. So, and the other thing too, that's kind of interesting, there's a few different areas within wearable technology. Now they're developing what they call smart glasses. So you can wear like these glasses, Gregor, but it'll track all the same information as your wrist activity tracker, but in the form of glasses. So I think that's kind of cool. And then smart fabrics are also in this category. So you can wear clothing that actually tells what your body temperature is, and it can sort of thermal regulate your temperature. So there's some really cool stuff on the market with wearable technology, and that's kind of why it's number one on the list.
Okay, I like that. Now, body weight training, what does that mean?
That's number two. Yeah, that's number two, and that's simple. It's just, you know, doing any form of exercise where you're using your body weight and you're not putting any other external load on your body, you're not lifting weights. So this was very popular a long time ago, back in the time of, like, Jack LaLanne, like, doing calisthenics, and I'm sure you did some of that, Gregor, jumping jacks, push-ups, jump squats, all that kind of stuff. So that would be body weight training. But today's version, of course, we do what we call TRX training, or that like suspension training using the anchored nylon straps. And you can do, you know, certain push-ups and just different resistance exercises using the straps. So bodyweight training, you can take it anywhere, and that's kind of the attraction, I think. You can take it on holidays with you, and you've always got your body with you, Gregor, so, you know, you can always do some sort of workout, right? So that's why that one's popular.
Interesting. Now, the high-intensity interval training comes in at number three. And this is basically short bursts of high-intensity exercise?
Yeah, and that's the glory here again, Gregor, is that you can do a workout in 30 minutes or less, but the premise execution of this particular work is exactly that. You just go really hard, whether you're weight training or running or whatever you like to do, cycling, go for 30 to 60 seconds, followed by, you know, a little recovery effort that's obviously less intense. And just do little intervals like that where you eat up 30 minutes and you can get a great return on your time. And that's the attraction to this. If you can tolerate high intensity work, you can expend a lot of calories in a short period of time and just improve like heart, lung capacity, all of that. So that's the attraction and to that. And that's why it's so popular, because it's a good return on time.
Jeff Woods joins us from Custom Fit. Now, Jeff, we got a few people texting in saying that no legit fitness person has ever considered wearing a fitness tracker. The people that do are the ones that think BMI is important. What do
well,
you say
here's
to that?
The thing. Body mass index obviously is not as important as, you know, your girth measurement at the navel. We know that's a better biomedical marker for chronic disease. So the bigger you are at the navel, obviously, the greater the risk of disease. And I think that, you know, some individuals, even fitness professionals, I mean, if they're going to be doing their training and it's going to be heart rate related intensity levels, just the old fashioned heart rate monitor that goes on your chest, that's what we would use in the lab, for example, to test somebody. And it's tried, it's true, it works, and that information is really solid. And I think, you know, some of the listeners calling in on that, you're right. I think that whatever it takes, though, if these fitness trackers are going to make you accountable and you're going to exercise more consistently and more frequently, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Does everybody need them? No.
No, not everybody. But I can tell you there are certain elite level athletes at times that wear the heart rate monitor. So depending on which one it is, definitely I think there are some that are more gimmicky than others. That would probably be safe to say.
You know what, too, Gregor? We've done some we've looked at this and talked about it on the radio before. It's like there is a margin of error on all of the data that these things would supply. They're far from perfect, that's for sure. And they don't stand up to, you know, laboratory testing results when we're testing for exercise performance and so on. But every situation is different, and everybody's intrinsic motivators to exercise are different. So, you know, if this is a catalyst to make you exercise, I still think there's room in the market to make it work. And these things too, Gregor, like with fitness trackers in general, all this stuff, it represents like billions of dollars annually in sales, whether it's clothing or whether it's the activity trackers. Like, it's big business.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it works, though, right?
So, no, yeah. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's buyer beware for sure.
Now, people can see the list on my Twitter feed. We got the list there. But the one that I found interesting that comes in at number seven is exercise is medicine.
Yes, and this is my favorite out of the whole survey, and it's a global health initiative. And what it's trying to do here, Gregor, is like encouraging primary care physicians to include exercise prescription for individuals that need help with their health.
Yes.
So whether doctors and nurses and dietitians are helping out to prescribe some physical activity, they also want to establish like a network with personal trainers so the doctors can refer to qualified personal trainers to get people to exercise, get them on the right program, and reduce drug interventions to help them with their health. So I think I love that idea. If we can get people moving and get people healthy without and feeling good too, even mental, like even for emotional states of mind, exercise can be such a wonderful catalyst to feeling better. And if we can do that without using drugs, I think that's a great plan. So
well,
I'm really happy about that.
Well, it is something I know. I've read a lot of stories on people that think in North America we're getting way too reliant on certain pill popping to solve some of our problems, when a little bit of exercise would definitely be something that could be just as beneficial. So my question is, are Albertans doing this? Are we seeing any sort of doctors combining with training places or anything like that? Or is this just in the very infancy stages?
It's in the infancy stages at this point. And, you know, it's something that, you know, some more sort of forward-thinking medical practitioners here in the Edmonton area, they're certainly aware and they're trying. There are some offices that, you know, promote and have a relationship with personal trainers. But it is in its infancy, but it's a start, and it's a good preventative measure. So, like, for me, I am going to promote this as well as I can from my platform. I'll pontificate because I can't tell you how happy I am to see this, and especially to be in the top 10, Gregor. I think it's great. It's a great initiative. So hopefully it takes off.
Well, it's something that should take off, and you know, hopefully there's more people that want to look at that, because obviously when you look at the massive increase at times in mental health, that, you know, and a decrease in physical activity, maybe there's somewhere that we can meet in the middle to help more people just by being more active on it. So I like the list, Woods. As always, we appreciate it. All the best in the new year.
Thanks, Gregor. Same to you, and my best to your family as well, pal.
You betcha. Jeff Woods from Custom Fit.